You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. The topic of forest management and tree planting in California is a heightened discussion now since the intense wildfires. Add the Christmas season to that story and those permits that allow you to cut down an evergreen. And there's an interesting question floating around. Would issuing more of those permits help thin the forests and thus help prevent wildfires? So that's a question that CAP Radio environment reporter Ezra David Romero tackled this week. He's in the studio to share some of the interesting information he learned. Hi, Ezra.
Hello.
Do you have a sense of how many trees are chopped down in California during a Christmas season?
I'd say thousands and thousands. Like, for example, the Plumas National Forest cuts between 9,000 and 11,000 trees for the public. And so just depends on the forest.
We're talking about national forests when we talk about permits.
Yeah.
So talk about a permit. For some people who just make the trip to the lot, the idea of a permit isn't familiar.
Yeah, it's actually cheaper in this way. It's about $10 or $15 per permit. You go to the Forest Service office, you apply for a permit, they give it. Once you get it, you get a map. And you're told where you can and cannot go to cut down this tree. And then you have until a certain date, usually the day before Christmas, and you go cut down your tree before then. And they encourage you to go early so you don't get stuck in the snow.
So 9,000 to 11,000 trees in the example you just gave. How does that compare to the number of trees that might be identified in a similar patch of forest in terms of needing to be thinned?
It sort of pales in comparison, sort of with the intensity of the problem of overcrowding in our dense forests in California. You know, there's an example near the Truckee Forest area in the Tahoe National Forest, where Joe Flannery, who's the public information officer, who sort of tipped me off to this story, he gives a perfect quote about it. So let's hear from him.
Pretty much an at-risk wildfire zone. And there's about 50,000 trees between 0 and 4 inches diameter at breast height. So to really create a more resilient forest, one that can resist wildfire in that project, you'd have to remove 50,000 Christmas tree-sized trees. We sold 300 Christmas tree permits this year in Truckee. I just don't think it'd be feasible for 50,000 people to kind of be driving through this neighborhood to go collect trees.
And he's talking about an area near Truckee that's near the town. That's 2,000 acres. So on 2,000 acres, there's 50,000 Christmas tree-sized trees that could come off the property. But another issue when it comes to that the Plumas National Forest PIO talked to me about was that, you know, people want this, like, pretty Christmas tree with the perfect layers. Mm. And not all 50,000 of those trees are going to be beautiful. You know, a lot of them, or maybe even majority, will be the Charlie Brown trees of the forest, or just, like, ugly. You know, they don't meet our, like, Christmas standards. And so,
what do you think of this huge gap in numbers? I think you went into this story not knowing the statistics. Did it surprise you?
Not really. I think I sort of knew that the numbers were sort of small, because a lot of national forests have caps on how many trees they can sell. And that's because of the administrative personnel it takes to even give out permits, and the conditions of roads and weather conditions and things like that. So they're taking all those things into account. But on the Tahoe National Forest, they said they're going to ramp up their sales next year. They're not sure what that's going to look like. And they're also going to start an online reservation system, and because that's the problem with a lot of the Forest Service places. If you live in Sacramento, you don't necessarily don't want to travel Monday through Friday to pick up a permit before 4 p.m.
Right.
And then go on the weekend with your family.
Yeah.
So they're sort of changing their minds about this slowly, it sounds like. And I also spoke with another forest, a UC system forest advisor in Tahoe, and she's a big proponent of this. She cut her own tree down with her family. Her grandson screamed timber as the tree came down, and it was this big family event. But she thinks, you know, this could be ramped up, and sort of any way we can thin the forest, we should do. And so she thinks we could do this on a larger scale.
There is that thought that any change starts with one person's action. So one more tree being cut down. Let me add another factor, though, and this is just anecdotal, but I see trees at lots advertised as being fresh cut from Oregon or freshly delivered from Washington State. What about a bigger move to make sure that more California trees are on California lots?
Yeah, Joe Flannery with the Tahoe National Forest sort of alluded to that. He says, you know, maybe we can't handle 50,000 people coming to this 2,000 acres within this three-week span, but maybe we can have some larger sales within that 2,000 acres. Maybe someone wants to come and cut down 400, 500 trees and then sell them to the Sacramento market or something like that. There's that opportunity as well. And that's already happening. I guess the Boy Scouts and other groups have different purchase agreements to cut down X amount of trees. So he thinks that could be scaled up. But on the El Dorado National Forest, they cut down 4,500 trees. And they found that, you know, they don't have the capacity to do that at the moment. They don't have the infrastructure. And there's also a lot of public land mixed with private land. And so there's differences in where you can cut.
And again, we're talking about permits on national forest land, which most of California is anyway. So then back to that original question, is it reasonable to think that a bump up in the cutting permits for Christmas trees is going to in any way be a factor in the thinning of the forests and then the prevention of wildfires?
I think it's all dependent on who you ask. When I spoke with the proponents of this idea, they say yes, because cutting down any of these trees matters. But when you look at the scale of the Sierra Nevada and all these forests and what a prescribed burn or forest thinning with these big giant machines can do versus 400 or 500 people cutting down trees with a little axe or a saw, it's a different story.
Ezra, since I have you here, one more note about another story that you've produced for us that's airing today, and that is about the PG&E lawsuits, the aging power lines, and what's rolling in terms of these lawsuits. I think we're seeing the early phase of what might come.
Yeah, late yesterday, I got an email about a class action lawsuit that a group is filing against PG&E. You know, they say that PG&E is liable. They knew that their infrastructure was aging, the power lines were old, the lines were brittle and things like that. And so they're saying they're suing for damages and losses and deaths and all these things. And so it's just one of many, many lawsuits that are happening. But there's still yet to be a cause for this. And so in some ways it's preemptive. In other ways, you know, these people have had their lives turned upside down.
I'll direct everybody to capradio.org to find both of these stories. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks, Ezra.
Thanks for having me.
That is Cap Radio's environment reporter, Ezra David Romero. And there is more on our website. This is Insight at Cap Radio.